Good morning, all you beautiful children of God. Today I want to talk about the relationship between grace and prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for opening the eyes of our heart that we might have a deeper understanding that brings us into a much deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. When you boil it all down, prayer is the biggest practical need we need in our lives every single day. Prayer has everything to do with turning things over to God and letting Him lead the way. And grace is the means by which prayer works. In real simple terms, so I can understand it, prayer is the channel through which God's unmerited favor, and what's that? Grace, flows into our lives. We don't earn answers to prayer. We receive them through God's what, class? Grace, right? Prayer says, Father, I can't do this, but you can. And grace answers, I already did. Now receive it. I think in very visual terms, and what I've seen recently is that prayer and relationship with God is really, prayer is our umbilical cord to God. It's like the baby to the mother giving them everything they need in the womb, the nutrients, the food, the immunities, everything. The baby doesn't cry for it in the womb, it just receives it. A couple days ago, I listened to a young man, Murray, play the piano and just talk very softly about grace. And he did it with such conviction and kindness that I just went into the most relaxed state of mind and consciousness and felt God's love unfolding in my own mind and understanding and heart in ways that I perhaps haven't ever before. There are so many tools out there today. There's a lot of bad stuff on the internet, but there's a lot of good stuff. And there's so many tools out there to help us deepen our faith and our trust in God, and we just have to ask God to help us find them and use them. Go to your accountability partners, but they're out there. And I want to get into this today because prayer is humanity's direct hotline to our Father, the creator of heaven and earth. Read Isaiah 40 sometime if you've forgotten how big God is, read Isaiah 40. Boy, that'll blow your mind. And prayer is our hotline to Elohim, the creator, to Jehovah on a horizontal level, the facet of God that takes care of all of our needs in the here and now. And as we have learned, if you have been attached to Light of Christ for a while, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. It's a direct hotline to our Creator. And to do it right, to do prayer correctly, we must surrender to God's way of doing it. At its core, it's the thing that really builds our relationship with God and, to be honest with you, through prayer with our fellow man. It's in meditative prayer, asking for a bigger heart, that we become more compassionate, more kind, more forgiving. But make no mistake, prayer is not a religious vending machine or a cosmic wish list. But it's getting ourselves in alignment with God's will and acknowledging who He is, trusting Him to do it, that we're the conduit, and bringing His will to earth as it is in heaven. The two main functions of prayer, number one is worship, adoration, praise, Psalm 100 says we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court, which is his presence, with what? Praise. One thing God can never get enough of is praise and worship. Do it as much as you want. And number one is worship, and number two is help. Help us. It helps us. God answers our petitions. And what happens when God answers our prayers through our faith, our trust in him? We live in two realms at one time. We are a spiritual being having a physical experience. Prayer is what taps us into that heaven that surrounds us. Every place it's present, because it says God is everywhere present. So heaven is everywhere. If you put your hand out, that's heaven. If you touch yourself, that's heaven. And we bring heaven's realities into the physical realm through prayer. What kind of things? Provision. Peace. Wisdom. Healing for ourselves and others. Victory in a very negative situation. All of those are brought to earth through prayer. A great template for this, how to pray, is Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus talks about the Our Father. And today what most people do is they just recite it word for word, just like it's written in Matthew or Luke. But Jesus didn't say to repeat the words over and over, especially in verse 9. He said, don't use this as vain repetition. But it was a template of how to enter God's presence. What is the attitude of heart with which we come into communion with God? And it starts with Matthew 6, verse 9, that says, Our Father who art in heaven, holy, blessed, to be praised, to be worshipped, to be thanked, is your name, your character, who you are. The template for prayer always starts out with worship and focusing on our God, letting God bring the peace of God to our hearts, letting go of the problem and focusing on God to give us the solution. What a wonderful attitude in prayer. And once we get in that place of focusing on the bigness of God, that's when we go into the part where we get into supplication of God's will being done in earth as in heaven, and that he's going to supply our daily bread. Your daily bread is a figure of speech for everything in life that we need to sustain us. The Hebrews, the Jews of Jesus' time would have gotten this right off the bat, because we don't have the healthy kind of bread today they had back when Jesus lived in 30 AD. That bread was loaded full of healthy things, and it was the main staple in all three meals every day. So basically, our daily bread means to give us everything we need to sustain us in that more abundant life that Jesus gave us in John 10:10. Provision, peace, health, victory here on earth. When we're living like that, that's, my friends, that's when we become anxious for nothing. Because we've learned to go to God in every situation with prayer, worship, and petition, with thanksgiving. And when we make our requests known to God, when we're doing prayer correctly, we know he's answered it even before we see the solution in the visible world. That is called God confidence. And it says in Philippians, when we pray that way, that the peace of God that passes understanding will guard our heart and our mind, so the negatives that the world keeps throwing at us until we see the answer, they just bounce off us. Like that shield of faith that talks about in Ephesians 6. And some people say, well, I've had all these things and God hasn't done anything for me. Folks, James, the book of James, chapter 4, if you're not getting answers to prayer, only two reasons. One, you have not because you asked not. You never really took it to God and left it at his feet to deal with it. You took it back and tried to figure out why it happened and get all anxious and try to analyze it rather than just giving it to God. Or number two, because you ask for something out of selfishness just for your fleshly whatever, lusts, pride, whatever, and God's not going to answer those kind of prayers because they're off the word. They're not his will. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7:7, if we ask anything in his name, he's going to give it to us. But how do we ask it? We've already gone to God in worship, which means we're in a submissive place in our own heart and mind. We know we're not party of the first part, second part, and third part. We know that these answers are not within our wonderful brain, our intellect, but that every good and perfect thing comes from heaven, from God. And that's when we let go and let God. I let go and let God. God, I don't need to figure out really why this happens. I just need to know that you can deliver me. That you can deliver me. Just a couple days ago, I had some prayer time with a woman who had tremendous needs in many, many levels. And within a few hours, she saw a miraculous healing. There was a miraculous reconciliation with someone in her family. There were just two or three miracles that happened that in our culture, I would say, were pretty akin to watching the loaves and the fishes. I mean, it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. And when I spoke to her after all this stuff happened, I said, this is a time just to thank God, just to thank God and be grateful. She didn't even hold that thought. She went immediately to, well, why did it happen? How did this happen? What caused this to happen? And my heart broke. I didn't think any less of her. I didn't love her any less. But the world has so trained our mind to be like gerbils on a little spinning wheel in a cage, focusing on the wrong thing at the wrong time just to get one raisin or one grape to eat during the day. The number one thing about prayer is taking the focus off yourself. And the best way to take the focus off yourself is to worship God. To allow yourself to dwell on his magnanimity, his graciousness, his big heart, his desire to see you and literally everyone on the planet be relieved from our suffering, to give us every good and perfect thing. And he is, capital T, capital H, capital E, the source, whether you realize it or not, of every good thing that's ever come into your life. If something good has happened to you, James chapter 1 says it came from God. Whether you ask him or didn't ask him, it says every, James chapter 1, every good and perfect thing comes from God, the Father of light, with whom is no shadow or variable of turning. He doesn't change. I don't care what it is, if it's a great meal, if it's a wonderful conversation, if it's a great friendship, it's a wonderful marriage, if it's a healing, if it's your family being reconciled on any level, those things came from God. Boy, oh boy, I wish we'd give him the credit he deserves. And then when we're in that place of worship, behold your God, knowing that God is not only your Father, but your friend. Hello. Then we're in that place of adoration to proceed with whatever we're going to go into, whether it's going to be petition or intercession or thanksgiving. Go to 1 Timothy, please, chapter 2. Look, the point I'm trying to make, my friends, is the absolute heart, that which makes it work, that which gives it a flow, the heart of prayer, is literally utter dependence on God. You come before him realizing you don't know squat by your five senses because they are deceived all the time. We even deceive ourselves by our own five senses and our stinking thinking. And we are literally in this place of thy will be done. Thy will be done. How many times, I don't know, it's in there a few times in the Gospels, did Jesus say of the Father? Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, only that which I see and hear the Father do. He said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus obviously is the most absolutely perfect example of living in the right posture of prayer, a heart of prayer that he carried around with him all throughout the day. Prayer, done correctly, is absolutely unequivocally based on humility and worship. Worship and humility. A strong understanding that we need God for everything in our life. I wake up some mornings thinking, what can I be thankful for today? I crack myself up. I have a long suit and joy. If you don't enjoy my joy, then you probably won't enjoy my ministry. But I'll get up and I'll just say, God, what can I be thankful for? And he'll say, how about air? If I turn the air off, how long would the earth exist? I'm giving you people your very life. I have covered this planet with a beautiful H2O and oxygen that you breathe, and it keeps you alive. And you know, then my mind will jump over to this crazy place. It's good, but my mind is quirky. Did you know that breath and spirit are the same word in the Bible? Ruach in the Old Testament and Pneuma in the New Testament. They both mean both spirit and breath. And I get to the place where every time I take in a calming breath, I realize that Spirit of God is in every molecule of my body. The Spirit of God lives in my head, in my heart, in my eyes, in my hands, in my tongue. The tongue, we won't even get into that today. Whew, boy, do we need to learn to control our words. People, there's a panoply of things to be grateful for every moment of the day. It's just something we train ourselves to do. But 1 Timothy, and I actually did my thesis in Bible college on this verse of scripture, so it's kind of interesting to come back to it 40-something years later. But 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2, I think it is. It says, the overview is, I urge then, and first of all, supplication, petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And then you just can skip over to that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life, because that gives you the sandwich. Everything else in the middle of that, whatever's the meat, the bologna, the lettuce is going to change. But two sides, two pieces of bread in that prayer sandwich is, first of all, he gives us four angles. It's like the cuts on a diamond. Four angles: petition, prayer, intercession, thanksgiving. Those are four different Greek words. We'll get to those in a second. And what's the reason? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That is the number one reason for prayer. Yes, it's to get things done. Yes, it's to have miracles. Yes, it's to solve problems. But the number one thing is peace. Peace in your own heart. That God has your back. He's got your front. He's got your tomorrow. He's got your today. He's got you 10 years from now. He is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And when that becomes your bedrock belief, you know what really upsets you in life? Pretty much nothing. Because you realize whatever your problem is, God already had a solution before the foundation of the world. And when you trust him to work it out, nothing really ruffles your feathers. God is large and in charge. God is large and in charge. I'm not. You're not. The only thing I'm in charge of is my thoughts. Those I control. I can think negative. I can think positive. I can think devilish stuff. I can think godly stuff. I control my thinking. And that is a full-time job. that is a full-time job for Peg. Maybe this stuff all comes easier to you, but I have to work at it. You know, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because just controlling your own mind, that's like lassoing a wild stallion and trying to keep it in the corral. But I'm going to put these in a different order. He says petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving. I want to look at prayer first, because prayer, the way we start prayer, that word used in the Greek, doesn't matter what it is, you can look it up. I could tell you, but it won't help you. This will help you. That word prayer is a general communion or conversation with God, issuing from worship, adoration, and recognizing God's presence. That is actually step number one. To get the petition, this is where you start. Maybe God had it put that way so it would be more appealing for people to read it. I don't know, because they found out at the beginning something was in it for them. But this is really the pattern right here, because this is the pattern of the Our Father I'm going to be talking about. At spending time in God's presence, worshiping Him, adoring Him, loving Him. And we haven't gotten to the place where we're asking for things yet, because we're entering into His gates with thanksgiving and enter His presence, His courts, with praise, Psalm 100. So then we can move into these other three: petition, intercession, and thanksgiving. Petition is also used in the King James as supplications, petitions. I think we understand what it is to bring a petition before someone. And that is making a personal request for your life, where you're bringing to God your personal needs like fear, doubt, sickness, lack, wisdom and how to handle a situation, protection, angelic protection. I pray for that a lot these days. In this crazy world, boy, we need our guardian angels. And intercession is similar but not identical, because intercession is when you're praying on behalf of others. The Old Testament calls this standing in the gap, asking God's help for someone else that you know or care or love, because of compassion in your heart, because you want to relieve the suffering of another person. This is a very strong thing to do, intercessory prayer. I felt like years ago the Father showed me that through my insane life. Read my book, you'll find out it's very shocking that I'm alive today. It was the prayers of my grandmother that saved my literal physical life long enough to come to Christ. And look, I've been hanging out with Jesus for 50 plus years, and I'm happy as a little Snoopy dog dancing in a field of flowers, doing the Snoopy dance. I'm so happy. And something that's a must with prayer, supplication and intercession may change, but something you always need in prayer is that beginning worship and this fourth thing, thanksgiving. An exceeding deep gratitude to God and to our Lord Jesus Christ, thanking them for what they've done for us, their faithfulness. And we get in that mode of thanksgiving and visualizing. This is so important. When you take these petitions, visualize them. See them having already happened. A lot of times when I have a need, what I visualize is not how's God going to heal my throat or how's He going to do this or that. It's seeing myself giving a testimony that I am healed. It's seeing myself giving a testimony that Jesus did this. It's seeing myself saying, even though the doctors couldn't figure this out, here I am, I'm well, and I'm in front of you. And that's a testimony, and that's thanksgiving. And you know what that does? When you talk about believing God for something that happened in your life, it inspires other people to believe God too, when they have a need. I mean, the greatest way you're ever going to evangelize is by example. The greatest way you're ever going to invite people into a deeper relationship with God is by your example, not your words, but your actions. Oh, God is loving. God is kind. God loves everyone. And then you go out in the vestibule after church, and you start talking about Susie and what a mess she is, and how she's not a good mother and doesn't treat her. Man, oh man, I don't want to go to church with that person. I have not lost friendships because I love everybody and anybody that there's a chance I can be a blessing to. I'm going to continue to maintain a friendship, but I have lost intimacy in friendships when I realize people have a blabbermouth. They talk about things that are nobody else's business. I had a woman in my church in Virginia that I told, okay, let me back up. I never talked about what happened in my childhood until I wrote my book to any degree, to anybody ever. I kept it hidden deep in my gut until 2017 when God told me to write a book about it. And I said, you've got to be kidding. Because I didn't trust people. And sure enough, I told someone in my church in Virginia back in the 90s something that was very personal, very hurtful to me, very embarrassing, on all those levels. And the next Sunday I went to church and almost everybody in church came up to me and asked me about that very incident. And I was crushed. Obviously, I never, ever told that person anything that was meaningful or could be hurtful to me ever again in my life. But it caused me not to trust anybody for a long, long time. Honestly, writing the book was kind of cathartic because there were no more skeletons in my closet that people could put out there because I put them out there at the Word of God myself. But, you know, I'm not recommending you do that. It's not an easy road to hoe because a lot of people came and, you know, they had a problem with that because it was too difficult to read and it was painful and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, it's always something. I don't know who said that, but it's some comic, but it's the truth. It's always something. And you just have to learn up to put on the shield of faith, you know, and in practical terms, I call it get a rhinoceros hide through Jesus, where the slings and arrows of people's words against you just bounce off. They just bounce off. So if you're taking notes, a quick summary to 1 Timothy 2:1 is prayer is really what, first of all, it's what builds up and strengthens our relationship with God. It's what builds and strengthens our relationship with God. And it always starts with prayer, that prayer we talked about of worship and praise to God, acknowledging Him for His beauty and love and goodness, and can include petition, which is how our needs get met, intercession, where we're standing in the gap for another person, where their others' needs get met, and should always include thanksgiving, a deep, heartfelt gratitude, 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 gratitude about God. I wish I knew the exact quote by George Mueller, but he said something to the effect, I always live in the spirit of prayer. I pray when I'm sitting up, I pray when I'm sitting down, I pray throughout the day, and I keep praying until the petition I've laid before the Lord is answered. But he said, I always live in the spirit of prayer. This guy, without ever taking up donations or asking for a penny, built something like, I don't know the numbers, but like a dozen orphanages. I don't know how many schools. He helped over 100,000 orphans in Britain in the 1800s without ever asking a human being for a penny. His benefactor was God. And he walked the faith walk better than anybody I've heard about in the last 100 years. So to get to our other half, I got to wrap this up pretty quick here. Prayer is so deeply tied to grace because everything we receive is by grace. Grace and peace be unto you. Grace is unmerited favor. Everything from God comes to us through grace because that is unmerited favor. There is nothing we did that we are owed an answer to prayer. Jesus covered it all. Therefore, His tab, His inheritance becomes ours, and our receptivity comes through grace. I love that verse in the Psalms that says, there is a river that flows from the throne of God that makes glad His people. Folks, that river comes through grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, please, verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly. And this is talking about all the work that Jesus did to set us free. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, undeserved favor, you know, withholding of merited judgment, and find grace, how? To help in time of need. Is that not what prayer is about? To get help in time of need? And how does it come to us? Through grace. Can't have one without the other. Every answer to prayer we get is not because we deserve it. It's by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves, that lest we should boast. I mean, how sad it is when people get an answer from God and they boast about their own abilities and why it came to pass. Wow, they don't know how they've cut off their connection, but honey, when God gives me something, he gets the credit, not Peg. When Peg does something that's a miracle for somebody else, God gets the credit, not Peg. Every answer, every provision, every time we are filled with his peace, every victory comes to us by grace through prayer. We receive God's undeserved favor and kindness, not because of our perfect performance, but by his grace alone. And prayer and grace are so important because they are the channel, the umbilical cord, the hotline, whatever you want to call it, through which unmerited favor flows into our lives and in intercession through to the lives of others. We don't earn answers to prayer. We don't cry and beg to get answers to prayer. We don't cajole God. I know when I first started praying, I used to tell God, you know, how bad my problem was and why he needed to help me so I could do this and this for him. I mean, I was literally still on my debate team in junior high. I was debating with God why I should have an answer to prayer because I hadn't understood grace. Grace that opens that door to everything God gave us through Christ Jesus. You know what grace does? Grace moves your spirit, your mind, your heart to say, Father, I can't do this. Papa, I don't have an answer. And I hear him speak back to me and say, honey, I already do. Now just believe it and receive it. I know so many people that come to me crying because they're in desperation and they've cried and they've begged and they've pleaded. They've done everything except to actually believe God, that God's going to answer their prayer. I have other people, other friends that see prayer as a, quote, religious duty. That, you know, they kneel down, they say these rote prayers, and they get up and don't feel changed at all. They don't understand that prayer is our lifeline to God as human beings. That we were never, ever designed from the time in the Garden of Eden to live independently of God. And when the serpent brought sin into the garden and mankind was all born under Adam's curse, it says in Romans, there became a disconnect. We were born with a disconnection from the source, and prayer is our way back. I mean, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what is that? It's prayer. And when you pray that in faith, you now are reconnected with the source and you have the seed of the living God in your physical body. You become filled with his spirit. And continuing with prayer on a daily basis, hopefully throughout the day, is how a finite people, this body's going to come and go, our spirit's here, but our body's going to change, this finite people stay connected to an infinite God. And you know what that is? It's humbling. But if Jesus said on multiple occasions, I of myself can do nothing. Think of that. I of myself can do nothing. If Jesus said that on multiple occasions, this is Jesus we're talking about, the Son of God by divine seed. If Jesus needed that, do you think there's a possibility we need it? You know, if you think you don't need prayer, really what you're saying is I'm better than Jesus. And that's a really bad place to come from. And the reason we need prayer so desperately is because heaven's treasure house don't automatically fall into earth. We are responsible to bring the blessings from that invisible kingdom, God's kingdom of heaven, into the earthly realm by our prayer. And I don't know that I can find a chapter and verse on this, but I would stake my life on it. I think we need prayer because we were made for a relationship with God. And if we didn't have to go to God in prayer, how many days would people go without thinking about God? He's our Father. He's our Daddy. He's our Abba. He's our Papa. And let's get honest. Let's get real. And you have to learn to pray deeply in times when you're blessed. The more blessed you get, the more you have to remind yourself to pray. Because you know when most people pray? When their house is on fire, when their child is sick, when their money's run out. Oh boy, they're on both knees. But when all those things get answered, you know what a lot of people can do? Not pointing any fingers, because I'll point three back at myself if I point one at anybody else. They'll forget him for days on end. But a crisis comes, and what happens? Sadly, most people don't even go to God in prayer. They call me to pray for them. And what does that say? And don't stop calling me. I want to help everybody I can. But in helping people, my number one thing is to teach them how to go to God themselves. When we start living in the pattern of prayer, when we live like George Mueller did in a life of dependence, utter dependence on God for every good thing that comes into our day. If we don't develop that habit in our own lives, even the strongest believer slowly drifts into self-reliance. Just what I was saying. Some of the people who fall off the prayer wagon the quickest are people who have all their needs met. That's never true. We always have something we need, which is deeper compassion or love or the intangible things that we can't really put in our hand. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, temperance, long-suffering. And it doesn't come from fancy words or begging or crying or trying to convince God why you need help. It comes out of a true communion that God is all love, that his joy throughout the day is to have us commune with him, talk with him, visit with him, notice him, adore him. So you can't really separate grace and prayer, prayer and grace, because they go like peanut butter and jelly, hand in hand. And when we walk in that relationship of grace and prayer, okay, I'm feeling in my spirit. I just have to push pause here and share one more thing. Prayer doesn't change God. It changes you. Like I said, I was on a debate team. I was very good. I never lost. I was the captain of the team. And when I first started praying, I used to debate God all the time on why he should help me. And then I finally, my knucklehead split open and I realized God has already helped me. He just wants me to thank him and praise him for that help. I don't have to convince him I have a need. I have to convince myself he has the solution. And that's when I release heaven's power into my life, into my ministry, into the world. And to believe that God's already answered our prayer before we see the tangible results, You know, it runs counterintuitive to everything in our five senses. And so we have to put off the old man and put on the new. A new way of thinking about life called faith. Trust in God. You know, the strongest Christians are not the ones who know the most scriptures. They're the ones who know how to pray from a place of humility and thanksgiving and trust, trust, trust. You know who usually prays the best prayers and sees the biggest results? Kids! Children! Because they don't have all this stuff running through their head. If they're taught to pray when they're young, I'm telling you, watch out. They are the prayer warrior. Devils are going to run from these kids because they know how to pray right. They already have the heart of a child. We're the ones that have a hard time going back and putting that on. Because you know what? Prayer is where pride dies. Honest to goodness prayer is where your human pride dies. You realize how vulnerable and helpless you are without God. But, it's where faith rises. And God's unmerited favor, His grace, can meet our greatest need. I was complaining to God about the world a couple of days ago. There's so much people hating other people for the, in my opinion, the dumbest reasons on the planet at times. And I'm like, can't we get along? And God just said to me, Peg, there is no problem mankind can foment. No chaos, no division, no war. That if my people will turn their hearts to me, I am bigger than all of that. I am bigger than all of that. It's all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. How I've taken your rear end out of the fire time after time after time when more and more people turn their hearts to me. In closing, I just want to say that prayer is worship that invokes or brings into manifestation God's help to a hurting world. It's the humble act of reaching out and taking heaven's resources and bringing them into the physical realm to bring God's will from heaven to earth. We can never separate our relationship with God from grace and prayer, the answer to all of mankind's problems. We don't pray because we ought to. We need to pray because we desperately need to. Like George Mueller, live in that spirit of prayer all throughout the day. And to start it, it's simple. Do it today. Do it this afternoon. Do it tonight. Just develop that ability during the day to push pause. I don't care if you're at work, play, in a restaurant, whatever you're doing, push pause and say, Father, what do I need to do here? I love you. You've got the answer. This person just broke my heart. How do I handle it? And don't do a knee-jerk reaction of getting angry or mad or responding with your five senses, but make that spirit of prayer your place you go to all throughout the day and watch your life blossom in ways you can't even understand it. I recently saw a meme, and it was one stalk and a tiny little flower on top, and it says, Our desire. And then it said, After prayer, God's desire. And it had multiple stems with blossoms coming out all over the stems, and how God is always more willing to give us even more than we ask when we come to Him in grace and faith. Father, I thank You for Your indescribable love, how big it is, how wide it is, how deep it is, and that we can learn to live in the deep end all the time, where we're constantly depending on You. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.